From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, I'm Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Market Report. It's the 24th of April, 2008. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. And we'll discuss today's cash grain market with Bill Mayer at the Grain Elevator located in Lexington. In agricultural news, there's still no deal on the farm bill. The Senate is supposed to vote on another one-week extension on that legislation. And one of the money managers on the Hill, Charles Rangel of the House Ways and Means Committee, summed up the debate so far this way. He says close doesn't mean a thing. It's kind of like being half pregnant. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. Also in this half hour, we'll hear a few words about the delayed corn planting season from University of Illinois Extension agronomist and one of this year's prestigious Funk Award winners, Emerson Nafziger. Hey, don't forget that in just about 24 minutes, we'll talk with meteorologist Peter Levitt. He'll help us take a complete look at today's agricultural weather forecast right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580 Public Radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago, on this Thursday afternoon, futures finished like this. The May contract in the wheat pit at 809 and a quarter, down 8.5 cents. July futures at $8.24, down 7.5, and December wheat futures 8.56¾, down 7¾. May corn futures at 5.76¼, 11.5 cents lower. July at 5.89½, down 12, and the September 5.98½, down 11¾. December corn futures at 6.02, and they finished down 10.5 cents for the day. May soybean futures at 13.48¾, down 23¼. July futures at 13.61, down 24.5. And the August soybeans, $13.41, down 25.5 of the day. November soybean futures at $12.40½, down 17.5. May bean meal at 3.46.20, down 5.40. July at 3.49.80, down 6.20. And the May bean oil at 60.17, 106 lower. July at 60.87, down 109. April live cattle at 92.25, 55 cents the gain. June down 20 at 92.67½. The August April feeders at 101.80, up a nickel. And May lean hogs at 74.65, up 40 for the day. Here's what the outside markets did on this Thursday afternoon. Crude oil futures still trading at $116, and nickel, they're down $2.25 at this hour. July futures at $115.25 are lower as well, at $2.34 down. May ethanol futures $2.51, down 4¼¢. June at $2.45, down 3¾¢. Natural gas trading the nearby May contract at 10¢.80¢, down 2¼¢. June futures at $10.96½. They're down 1.9 cents for the day. Propane futures, yesterday's settlement price at $1.63½ for the May contract. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 12,912. It's just about 149 points higher for the day. Gold futures are trading, well, I don't have the gold futures in front of me at the moment, but we do have the CRB index at 414.48. That's down 7.41 at this time. Here's what the forecast looks like for the two-state region from our own Ed Keezer, chief meteorologist at WILL AM 580. He says tonight across Illinois and western Indiana, skies will be mostly cloudy. There will be some scattered showers, a few isolated thunderstorms. In eastern Indiana, partly to mostly cloudy, a few scattered showers arriving after midnight. Lows will range from 56 in northeastern Indiana, says Ed, to 63. In the southwestern part of Illinois. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and some sunshine for a Friday. Windy, warm, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Highs will range tomorrow from 70 in northwestern Illinois to 83 in the far south. The extended forecast says most of Illinois and Indiana will receive some rain between now and Friday night. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from WILL AM 580.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
On this Thursday afternoon, ADM Grain Group's Dan Zwicker joins us to take a look at what happened in the commodity markets. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Dan, rather than starting in the commodities, let's start with the outside markets and see what happened there. The dollar had a little rally today.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the main contributor maybe to the weakness that we're seeing across the commodity complex. Was the sharp rally here in the dollar. As you know, as the dollar weakened here through the winter months, that was used as a support of underlying futures to owning commodities as long as the dollar was weakening. So today's short covering bounce that we saw in the dollar, most of it, from what I can read, came from ideas that the Fed was done lowering interest rates. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean they're ready to start raising interest rates, but it was done lowering interest rates. So with all markets having to be fed to continue in the direction they're going, I think the short traders of the dollar, or the people that were short the dollars, thought that was an opportunity that they needed to get their positions covered, and I think that's what we saw here. So if the Fed has decided that we're not going to bring interest rates down anymore and we're going to stay steady in here, then probably what's going to happen is this dollar is going to want to turn sideways, because I think in order to get any meaningful upturn going in the dollar, I think you're going to have to see the Fed raise interest rates, and I don't think the economy at this point is probably strong enough to see any raising. And usually the Fed doesn't want to raise interest rates during election years because they get shot at from both parties. So I think they're going to want to go into the middle of the road here and maybe just not do anything here, at least for the coming months, and see how the economy, if everything's begin to kind of stabilize and improve a little bit. But then as time goes on, then we would probably see a raising of interest rates.
As a technician, would you be willing to give us a kind of a channel that we might be able to trade sideways in that would be comfortable? Is it as low as the bottom of the market? Which
well, I would
very
say that
away,
you know, the way the market performed today, you kind of got to use the most recent lows, and I'm away from my computer here to tell you exactly what they are, but they are definitely the lower 70s, whatever it is. And I suppose I think the first thing we'd probably want to look at is somewhere around 75 cents probably as kind of a resistance point. And, of course, I think the big resistance point would be 80. That is when things when the market went down underneath 80 is when, everybody started screaming the weaker dollar. So what we may do is return back to 80, maybe go into a – like I said, first thing we got to see is whether or not this reversal holds up, and to see whether or not that's the Fed is going to live by this no lowering of interest rates anymore. So, I mean, so I think we'll have to kind of see how that plays out fundamentally. The other thing that is, this is, we're closing in on the end of the month, so a lot of times events like this has a tendency to encourage people to get out of positions one way or the other. So what we'll have to see is as we go into the new month of May, whether or not there's ownership interest in the dollar. It's one thing to see short covering, and it's another thing to see people that actually want to buy the dollar for an upside rally. And I think we'll have to wait until May to see that.
Yeah, the recent low was 71, 20 or thereabouts, 71.19, and the all-time
right.
low is not very far below that, but at that 70, 69, 70, 70 range, and the 80 came back in September of last year. So you're wanting to consolidate something between 71 and 75 at this point.
I think at this point you have to kind of take the first step. And I think also, you know, if anybody's kind of been listening to me the last couple, 3 weeks, I think I've been talking about a triangle formation or a pennant formation developing in the dollar. And it did start breaking to underneath that, which was signaling, you know, a potential anyway, or it was beginning to tee up a move down to 65 cents. So I wasn't the only technician looking at that, and I suspect maybe you had a lot of technicians going in there getting short the dollar on that breakout of that triangle formation, mm-hmm. and now it's it didn't follow through on the downside. Instead, we've had a sharp rally. So that would have to be viewed as somewhat of a bear trap down there from a technical perspective. So, like I said, we'll have to kind of see what happens with follow through. But fundamentally, we're going to have something more than stop lowering interest rates. We're going to have to see the Fed, I think, raise interest rates to get the dollar to get into a more of a sideways to higher trend.
Well, consolidation in the dollar, would that mean, for instance, that if we have a normal growing season and we can get the crop in the ground, not any more delayed than we're thinking at this point, that we'd stay at these levels with in corn and soybeans through the time frame for this particular growing season and this crop, as long as the dollar is consolidating, because it really hasn't changed the value of that crop?
Well, yeah. Well, the dollar only, you know, the dollar is basically primarily drives the export sector.
Right.
And of course, the export sector is driven not only by the value of the dollar, but also what the other world countries are producing and whatnot. So depending upon whether there's a demand because of a shortfall of supply somewhere. But I would say what the stable dollar would do is, you know, as long as you stay down at these levels, I mean, we're going to still be very competitive in the world market. But it takes away a piece of element that the bulls always had to argue every morning on the open, that the dollar continues to weak, and that was a buying feature. So if we go into a sideways move, then the markets by itself lose that underlining influence to have a reason to buy it. So corn and soybeans and wheat, our main interest here would have to be more driven by the day-to-day fundamentals of weather pattern, crop ratings, export demand, and that kind of stuff. And the outside market influences would maybe turn into something more neutral.
And in your view of it, is that honestly enough to maintain the levels? I assume you're thinking.
Well, it depends on what you talk about, maintaining the levels. I get a little worried about that.
Yeah.
I mean, we're moving the market in one week of what we moved it all year here just a few years ago.
Yeah.
I suppose at some point in time, you know, if we the corn market, probably vulnerability, I think these corn could slide back to 550 pretty quick, and that would not surprise me on a planning relaxation type correction if it felt that the crop was going in, that we had additional acres bought, all this kind of stuff. We could come back to 550, I think, pretty quick. I got a technical formation says that we could go back to there. Now, the question then is, do you go lower or you turn around and come back? Well, that'll probably depend upon the ultimate size of acreage, the ultimate yield, and all that, and that'll all have to be, you know, that's something for us to argue about as we go down the road. But long-term supply-demand fundamentals, barring any major shakeup, it does look like, you know, $5 futures is going to be support, pretty solid support. And when you take into account that you've had a high so far of $6.30 or so, you know, $1.30 off that high is not that bad, given that you're taking it off of a $6 high. You know, versus you would say maybe a 50 cents off of a $3 high. So you got to keep everything in perspective. Soybeans, again, that all depends upon crop size and whatnot. But yeah, you could probably take November beans back to $10 pretty quick, and we could maybe find some kind of trading range here between, you know, $10 and $13.50 or something like that.
Dan, we appreciate you taking the time today.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on Thursdays. In a moment, Dave Dickey will be here with a look at today's agricultural news. Stay with us.
In agricultural news, talks Wednesday behind closed doors did not produce a deal on the farm bill. Today, the Senate is expected to vote for another short-term extension of the 2002 law. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says he's willing to give negotiators another week because they have, in his words, made such progress in the last few days. After emerging from yesterday's Farm Bill meetings, House Ways and Means Chairman Charles Rangel said, quote, "Close doesn't mean a thing. It's like being half pregnant." The current extension of the Farm Bill expires tomorrow. Yesterday, a White House spokesperson told reporters that Congress has 3 days to get a new law done, or they should pass a one-year extension. USDA has debarred AWB Limited, the former Australian Wheat Board, for 2 years. That means AWB cannot use U.S. government export credit programs for 24 months. The debarment is a blow to Australia's monopoly system at a time when it is subject to both domestic and international debate. Australia's new Labor government has drafted laws that would end AWB's monopoly and the system of monopoly exports, but producers have been protesting the proposal. The Food and Drug Administration says it will unveil a rule this week that will place new restrictions on the feeding of U.S. cattle in order to reduce the risk of mad cow disease. The current feed ban prohibits the use of rendered cattle in cattle feed. The FDA declined to comment on details of the new rule. The National Renders Association worries the new rule will no longer make it profitable to go to slaughterhouses and farms and collect carcasses not fit to go into the human food supply. The FDA has estimated its new rule will cost the beef industry as much as $36 million a year in disposal costs. The meat industry, in a 180-degree reversal, now says it will back a total ban on downer cattle from entering the food chain. Current law allows cattle to be slaughtered if they fall down after passing a veterinarian's inspection and then are reinspected. National Farmers Union President Tom Bias says the Commodity Futures Trading Commission is out of touch with what's happening in the countryside regarding risk management and price discovery. Bias, who spoke at Tuesday's CFTC public forum, says, quote, "When regulators say a problem doesn't exist, despite the fact farmers cannot market their commodities, that sounds an alarm. There's a train wreck coming." Bias called on Congress to hold hearings on the futures markets. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming here at WILL, Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. This morning, Emerson Nafziger, Extension Agronomist from the University of Illinois, dropped into my studio in Mumford Hall, just about a mile south of where we're located now. We had a little discussion about corn planting in Illinois and what the delay might mean. Here's a small excerpt.
Well, the first 10 days of May are, you know, almost as good as the last 10 days of April in terms of getting the crop planted. And one of the points is we can do more damage trying to get it in just before May 1st into soils that are wet than we do good. Just because the calendar changes to May 1 doesn't mean that, you know, things have screeched to the halt and a halt and the chances for a good crop are have gone to zero. Hybrid changes have been generally towards ones that will do better with early planting, better emergence, better seed treatments. The traits that we have may be helpful to some extent, but I think it's just as much that hybrids selected more recently tend to be a little more stress tolerant and probably tend to make a little better and deeper root system. These things are really hard to put numbers on, and I'm not sure you could see very much if you put them side by side with hybrids from 20 or 30 years ago. But in general, we think they're a little more stress tolerant, and it may be due to the root system. And that would generally be a good thing, because late planting is associated with more stress due to lack of water. Anything we could do, or any hybrid that would have the better ability to make a deeper, better root system, would likely help the crop out. If you said, okay, it's guaranteed it's going to be wet until May the 5th, and then it's going to be very nice and dry after that, then we would clearly say, well, you know, just wait till after that to start, and then try to plant as fast as you can. Unfortunately, as people see the days go by and the weeks go by, they start to get this scenario, what if we can't plant until May the 20th or May the 30th or June the 5th? None of these are impossible. We think the chances are low. And as it warms up like this, it's very likely to dry out. The weather pattern will change, and it can change, and things can break loose fairly quickly. And so we'll be optimistic that that's what will happen.
That was Extension agronomist Emerson Nafziger talking about delayed corn planting in the state of Illinois and the impact it may have on the coming crop. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Lernard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
It's Thursday, April the 24th. Bill Mayer, Roach Ag Marketing, located in the elevator at Lexington, Illinois, now joins us to take a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Bill.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, we're talking about delayed corn planting, but I'll bet the planters are rolling in your area.
Yeah, there's planters rolling. It's not, you know, just a full-out rush, but there's been some planting going on. And guys are picking and choosing a little bit, but they're getting some stuff planted.
That usually means that basis levels start to tighten up. Is that correct?
Yeah, we've seen the bean bases at least tighten up here the past week. The corn stayed pretty steady, hasn't really done much of anything. And beans, I think, you know, we're kind of back to, I guess, what I'd call a normal situation where the basis needs to improve to get the beans to move. They're not being forced to move by, you know, higher prices, taking them out of the farmer's hands, or lack of ability to finance a margin call, taking them out of the elevator's hands.
What are your suggestions for producers if they're still sitting on the sidelines and not able to get into the field? Should they move any old crop?
Yeah, I think if they still have old crop to move here, as we've come back and gotten back above $13 on the soybeans here in the last week, I've suggested to some guys that they move at least a portion of what old beans they have left. Corn, too. I mean, corn prices, there's certainly nothing wrong with selling at these levels if they have some time to get it in the elevator. Or if they don't, there's some carry in June in some cases.
And quickly, your bids for the day?
539 old corn, 542 new. 1309 old beans, 1170 new.
Thanks much, Bill.
Thank you.
Bill Mayers with Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, joins us on the Closing Mark Report on Thursday afternoons. In 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Pigs in a Blanket Day. One of the earliest references to pigs in a blanket dates back to 1882, where oysters seasoned with salt and pepper were rolled in a slice of bacon, skewered with a toothpick, and then grilled, broiled, or fried. The recipe comes from the Boston Cookbook. Pigs in a blanket became popular in the U.S. in the 1950s as a meat wrapped in dough. On this day in agricultural history in 1743, Edmund Cartwright was born. Cartwright was an English inventor of the power loom, which improved the speed and quality of weaving. He patented the device in 1785. The invention revolutionized weaving, changing it from a manual process to a mechanical one. Cartwright also invented a machine for combing wool. In 1766, Robert Bailey Thomas was born. He was the founder and longtime editor of the Farmer's Almanac, now known as the Old Farmer's Almanac. In 1833, Jacob Ebert and George Dalty patented the first soda machine. In their heyday, soda fountains flourished in drugstores, ice cream parlors, dime stores, department stores, and train stations. Soda fountains reached their high in the U.S. in the 1940s and 50s. And in 1949, chocolate rationing ended in Britain. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Land Grant in Urbana-Champaign, the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. We're joined on this Thursday afternoon by Pete Levitt, agricultural meteorologist, to take a complete look at the weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the globe. Good afternoon to you, Pete. Which one of those areas do you want to start with?
Well, let's start locally and go across the three eyes, because that's where we've seen so much weather prompting so much delay in getting the corn crop planted. And we start out with another wet pattern moving across the western Corn Belt states today. A few showers from that will get across northern Illinois tonight. They're already across the Mississippi River. I think those will fade. But the main system is going to come in tomorrow night, then Saturday, and then Saturday night it turns colder. We're still looking at showers from behind the slow-moving storm system on Sunday. And finally, we'll get some clearing weather, but in the meantime, we're going to pick up quite a bit of precipitation, probably in the 3/4 to 1.5 inch range anyway, pretty generally, across much of Iowa, the northern 2/3 of Illinois, and then into Ohio and Indiana. So not a very good start. And then when it clears out on Monday night, wouldn't you know, we're looking at a chance of some frost on Tuesday morning, even down into northern and perhaps central Illinois on Tuesday morning, as much colder weather comes in and replaces balmy upper 70-degree weather we have today. And the cool weather will linger into the latter part of the week, and it'll finally warm up toward the weekend. But at least we'll have a little drier weather for a few days, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. But I can't make any promises for next weekend again.
Boy, it just doesn't sound like good weather for putting a crop in the ground or for having a crop in the ground, either one, cold and wet and not good for corn that's already planted. And certainly you can't put a crop in the ground. Anything in the month of May that looks better?
Well, I think what happens here is we gradually get this area of wetness to shift northward with time. Which then makes the spring wheat people a little bit unsettled. But they've been getting their crop in the ground pretty well. Most of the rain's been south and east of there.
Mm-hmm.
If it gets warm enough, they'll get it in and up. But I think as it shifts northward, we'll see the delays shipping slipping northward as well. I think everybody knows that the crucial date in the three eyes for corn is about May 10th. And after that, agronomists tell us that you start to lose about a bushel a day on lateness of planting. So not too friendly there.
Okay, and then if you take a look around the rest of the nation or the globe, what do you see?
Well, let's go south again into Brazil and Argentina. They're still trying to get the soybeans harvested. The rains have come back into the northern half of the southern Brazilian crop belt. So the soybeans are having a problem getting that harvested, but the rains are good for second crop wheat down in there. In the Argentine, they did have a significant freeze this past week in the Argentine, which may have done some damage to late summer crops. Now they're going to get a little rain, but no weather that they can handle. We'll look to see how much damage that has done. Europe is cold and wet, and so they're having one of their April being the cruelest month again for them out there after a fairly mild winter. And everything looks pretty good in the Far East right now.
Thanks much, Peter.
My pleasure.
Pete Leavitt, agricultural meteorologist, joins us each and every Thursday afternoon here on the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.